update. So now I want to move to agenda paper 11B, which is about materiality. And this paper is about the proposed project on materiality, which obviously forms part of the disclosure initiative. I think in much of the outreach that we had done about the disclosure problem and as part of the other work we've done, well, that's been primarily the driver for the disclosure initiative, the messages we heard in the forum and the survey that we had and a lot of the work that's been done by others about disclosures identifies that how materiality is being applied, or not as the case may be, is one of the main sort of causes of what they perceive to be the disclosure problem. And that could be that there's too much irrelevant information, so boilerplate information, non-entity specific information, but it's also been raised as a cause for not enough of the right information. And I think in response to these messages and as detailed in our feedback statement, we've advised that we'd plan to start a project on materiality with a view to creating a general application guidance or other guidance on materiality. So since that feedback statement, we sought some views from CMAC, GPF and ASAP on whether we should proceed with a project on materiality. I think broadly CMAC and ASAP were broadly supportive of our proposals. GPF, there were some concerns that primarily materiality is about behaviour, and that aside from the narrow focus amendments we were making in IS1, they actually felt there was maybe not much more the ISB could actually do to influence or change that behaviour. So within that context and today's session, I want to discuss with you this paper, which goes over the objective scope and potential topics and the approach for a project on materiality, and basically get your understand or get your agreement that we should proceed with a project and also how we should proceed. So in that context, I just want to firstly get your views, and I'll combine sort of the discussion on questions 1, 2 and 3 about the project overall, the objective and the scope, and effectively, do you agree that we should undertake a project on materiality? Do you agree that the objective should be to help preparers, auditors and regulators use judgment when applying that concept, and with the result of effectively making, I think, discussions between those parties more effective? And then that the project should relate to the financial statements in their entirety, but with a focus on the application to the notes. So I'll open that for questions, for responses.
Billy?
Yeah, Pat?
I just wanted to highlight something that struck me as I read the paper. Christy, I thought this was very well laid out, but there was an inherent conflict that I saw in two places in the paper. On the one hand, you're recommending that the focus of this project should be upon on clarifying how the concept of materiality should be applied, and contrasting that with not trying to define materiality per se or refine the concept. However, later on in the paper, when you get to the point of asking us about the scope of the three problems that this project might deal with, one of those areas in paragraph 2020, which is essentially, I guess 2020A is in a sense in conflict, I think, with what the project is about. And so I think we just should be clear, if in fact we're going to go down the path of trying to improve how the concept should be applied, that makes abundant sense. But if in doing so, we're going to tread along the line of actually tinkering with the words of what materiality means, I think that opens up an entirely different type of project, a much more expansive project, and one which I think is not necessarily going to improve the application. So maybe if you could speak to that, because I think that's the tension that you're going to have to balance in this project, coming up with guidance on how it should be applied versus tinkering with what materiality means.
Yeah, and I think in terms of 20A, what I had meant to try and convey was that the concept of materiality that's described in the conceptual framework and then repeated in IS1, I think is clear, you know, especially from an overall perspective and for us as a standard setter looking at it. I think we understand what that means. But I think when you get into practice, there's various aspects of materiality, and you've heard things like quantitative materiality, qualitative materiality, or you know, the thresholds that auditors apply. They have some standards on materiality. So my thought behind 20A was that actually when people talk about materiality and have discussions about materiality, I think sometimes they come with different perceptions and understandings of what that means. And many times I've spoken about materiality, people have talked about thresholds and quantitative amounts, and I only see that as one part of materiality. It's a broader view, and that's the concept that sits in the conceptual framework. So my view of the work that we could do to help understand it rather than tinker with words is to put a sort of a spotlight on that different meanings, how it's been applied already, and I think that gives you a better understanding of what the concept means without actually having to change the concept itself.
Thanks. I know by experience, having dealt with such a project a long time ago in my career, that it's a difficult topic, difficult project. So I think we should try to keep the scope under control and address really what is needed to be addressed today, which is materiality when applied to disclosures, to the notes, and not reopen any discussions, if we can avoid it, on materiality when dealing with errors, as currently I just said. I'm not aware there is any issue with dealing with materiality when assessing errors or misstatements. If there are any issues, maybe there are not issues for ISB, but more for the auditors. I don't think we need to discuss materiality when applied to recognizing transactions. It's not about whether petty cash should be or should not be recorded in the financial statements, or whether it should be a black cash. I think it's not the issue. The issue is when applied to disclosures. And I think we should really focus the project on that element, which is difficult enough in itself, without burdening the project with all sorts of discussions about materiality at large when dealing with financial reporting, with recording transactions, with dealing with errors, auditing issues, because that will take us to many different aspects, and then we are on the road for years.
And that's consistent with some of the messages that we've heard in terms of that most problems in applying materiality are regarding the disclosure in the notes. But ultimately, I think any discussion of materiality applies. What you learn when you're assessing materiality in terms of that context would also be applicable elsewhere, and I think we can't divorce that fact. So, but no, I agree that it should be the focus on the notes.
Maru.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I must say that it's hard to say stop the project at this stage, because although I'm in the position that the concept, as stated in the paper, the concept of materiality is clear to me. Of course, in almost every region in the world, there are a lot of people that say that there are inconsistencies in the application of the concept, and I guess the amount of feedback that you provided here drives us naturally to say, well, go ahead with this project. Let's try to make this more meaningful in terms of the final information to be provided to users. Then when it comes to the objective of the project, I read this a number of times. I tried to have a little chat with Peter this morning to try to clarify my mind. And I'm here to you just to try to explain my discomfort. Objective of a project should be to help, and then with this first word I had problems. Help. Well, help someone, it's very broad. but help preparers, auditors, and regulators help use judgment, while judgment generally, by nature, is at some level individual, when applying the concept of materiality, with the result of making financial reports more meaningful. So I'm highly uncomfortable with our ability to help all these people to apply judgment in a consistent way. That said, I'm not saying that's impossible, but it's the way I see it, this is a behavior problem. Behavior that is probably more intense in some jurisdictions than others. There are many aspects in this. So, but I think the task is challenging enough. But then I came to the second question, to me, that's not in the paper. So, okay, we are going to do this project. We accept the concept in our conceptual framework. It's clear. We accept the argument that this is a behavior challenging aspect. So, what is our objective then of the project? Issue a standard on materiality? I don't think so. Issue interpretation? No, it's not an interpretation. Issue education material as in fair value we did in IFRS 13? Might be, but then it comes to a sort of interpretation. Or is this going to be something similar to the management commentary that is not even here or here? It's a different type of document. So I think it's we might intuitively say, well, we are the guys to do that. But with the objective we have here, the challenge is enormous. I don't think will be that straightforward for us.
So what is the product?
That's why we've set out the approach that we have, because I don't think I can say now to you what I think the end product will be. The product may be the results of the research that we have done, so creating at least a body of information which gives you a bit more understanding about what materiality is, and we may publish that as a research paper, and I think that may actually help. I think we also continue to work with other parties, like we have started to do with this project, which is the IAASB and IOSCO, and to see if we can, via that, try and influence some behaviour there. I think after we've done that research, I think we can then take a step back and say, what more can we do? Is it, maybe following on from Martin's point, is about let's concentrate on the objectives that we write in our standards. That's something we can control and we think will actually have a positive effect regarding the application, because that's something that we can control. Another potential way forward would be to produce either some education material or guidance if we felt that was necessary and we could really pin down something that we wanted to address specifically. But that may not be the case. You know, we might sort of start an education series. I was speaking with Mike Wells, and maybe that's something that we could have a session with at the next IFRS conference and get some regulators and auditors and ourselves together to discuss that research. I agree with you. I think it's ultimately a matter of behaviour, but people often look to us as being sort of a central facilitator to get those people who have to change their behaviour together to do that. And so I think it's not an easy this is the end product. I think we are going to have to, feel our way and take some steps towards that. But hopefully those steps in themselves will provide useful information and will be, you know, productive if we don't go further on with it.
Educational material might be
it may
logical outcome.
But I didn't want to, in this paper or at the beginning of this project, tie ourselves to an end product, because it may or may not be necessary.
Mary?
Christy, I start with support for the conclusions and recommendations overall. I think basically the right direction, the right issues. I think we have to acknowledge that our initial estimate of the targeted outcome, maybe some clarification and some degree of trying to prompt behavior by the fact of behavior changes by the fact of having the project, and when I say clarification, that may include but not be limited to education material. is harking back to Philippe's comments. I think your list in paragraph 13 is very helpful, and in some ways to me is maybe a bit more focused and tangible than the objective in 14. Not that 14 is wrong, but I think 13 gives a more specific, here are the discrete areas we should think about. And in this, to me, the one, this is the harking back to Philippe, the one that leaps out is 13E, and that's where I think, which is a lack of guidance on the application of materiality to disclosures. That's, I think, where we really are more likely to want to take some specific step within the context of the standards or application guidance to explain how the general principle, which I agree, you say and I agree, I think we have right, and we shouldn't be starting with a re-debate around the basic description of materiality. The last comment, you mentioned the work with IAASB and IOSCO. I think those are both important groups to be working with. But based on what I hear, I think we should also, maybe this is question five, get IFIAR involved if possible. Whether it's fair or not fair, I think many recent comments about materiality and how the perception of what is material in practice has been attributed to challenges at the back end by the audit regulators, you know, that then work their way back in, you know, into the system. So, and if we want to prompt behavioral changes, I think we have to talk not only to the auditors directly, but also to the party that may be motivating some of their changes in behavior. So that would be the other, to see if they would be interested in, at least as an observer, hearing the discussions to get that piece going. That's a good point.
Martin?
Yeah, and I think we should really do this project, but really, as Philippe said, really very focused on notes disclosure, because otherwise I think we cannot contribute a lot, and I think the rest is clear. But still, if we're doing that and trying that, I think it will be very, very difficult, because man, if you have to apply materiality on disclosure, I think it is absolutely necessary that we have in our standards the clear disclosure objectives of the different pieces. And if you look through our standards and disclosure, specific disclosure objectives is not so very detailed. But if you have to give really a qualitative assessment, because it is not quantitative only, then you must be an objective, because otherwise it's difficult to do that. And therefore, I think it has to be, as I said earlier, linked then to the work which we do on separate standards. Because if we don't do that, I would then we should forget the whole project, because otherwise it will not lead to anything, because to make really qualitative materiality judgment on disclosure items, a prerequisite is here to be getting a clear disclosure objective, because otherwise it is not possible. That is what I think.
And I think it ties into, I think it also ties into this ongoing work that we want to do about what is the best practice, or what is the process we need to think about when we're setting disclosures in new EDs, and is there something that we can try and promote a better clarity around a disclosure objective, and I think we need to explore that more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I completely support this project, as you know, and I do agree with a lot of the comments here. We probably won't know what the end product looks like till we get there. Mm-hmm. I do believe with the ED that's going out, you know, next week, I think we're getting a lot of useful feedback. I mean, I appreciate that's truly the low-hanging fruit, but I suspect we're going to learn a lot out of it. If I had my druthers, what the end product would look like, and again, appreciating this, we don't know where this will come out, would actually probably would be a standard as opposed to training. And the reason why training isn't authoritative. It might be our organization's collective views, but it's authoritative once it's in a standard. So just as we have IS-1 presentation of financial statements, I could see, conceivably see, depending on where the work goes, an IS-1 prime presentation of footnotes or something like that. And I think, jumping ahead, I think like paragraph 28 on applying concept materiality was exact reasons that are problems out there. You know, when does disclosures get stale dated? You know, when do you have I personally believe almost any individual disclosure could probably be rationalized as immaterial, viewed in a vacuum individually, but can you do that 100 times in your set of footnotes? I don't think so. You know, with debate, you can do it once, but I can see arguments that can happen. So I think we're covering a lot of ground, and keeping it, applying materiality inside the footnotes is probably the right scope, because I tend to think the presentation of financial statements is more of a quantitative view of materiality. This is more qualitative.
I think Hans is just asking you whether we need to go into the individual questions. I don't think we necessarily specifically do. I'm sensing agreement from the board to go forward with the project as drafted with the approach. One thing I did want to get a sense from you about was our view that we should undertake some work about significant accounting policies and do that in the short term, about providing a bit more clarity about what we mean about what is or what makes an accounting policy significant, because that seems to be, of all the notes and disclosures, the ones where people look to say there's boilerplate language.
Okay. I think we should, but the reason why, if you think of the, you know, history of summary statement of policies, disclosures, goes back when there's lots of choices. Mm-hmm. In GAAP, in our predecessor standards, other country standards, all over the decades, choices have been knocked down. You know, with you might express a preference when does fair value versus consolidation come into play, but those aren't choices. They're facts, in theory, drive you towards one or the other. It's useful to know it. And the fact that numbers may be big, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're controversial or they're variable or going to be environmentally challenged, you know, when things in the macroeconomy go, does that make it a significant accounting policy because the number is big but pretty static? I don't, you know, versus dynamic. And I do think you get a different measure materiality when something is new versus been around for 75 years. But similar, you know, expression in Washington, D.C., if you want to assure eternal life, put in the code of federal regulations. I think there's some element of that true here, too. You put it in financial statements. It's a lot easier to put it in than it is to get it out.
Okay. So you have our agreement to go ahead with it, with all the questions that have been raised, and you see that this is going to be very difficult, but we entrust it into your hands.
Thank you.